the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Most loving and affectionate Father, every single thing that you have created is an expression of your infinite love. Everything that you have done for us and taught us through Christ Jesus is an expression of your mercy. Help us to understand this merciful love so that we may respond to it in like. We ask this through Christ, our beloved Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, I think we're going to discuss a little bit of hell. I'm going to give you hell today. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to yell at you. It doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to frighten you, because I don't believe that you should ever serve God because you're scared of him. Oh, there's people you can find to do that. People that give you a poison Kool-Aid afterward, or think that you're going to be taken up in a spaceship someplace. Those kind of crazy people, they'll use fear to think that that's what God wants. He wants you to serve him because you're scared to death of him. Well, that's not what it's going to be at all. All right? Heaven and hell are choices. You choose one or you choose the other. And we've already seen that basically in all the things that I've said before. So we either choose to go to heaven or we choose to go to hell. And your choices, and they're yours. Yeah. Now remember that, if that's the way it is, it's not God who sends you to hell. It's you who run there. It's you who desire to go to hell. And you know, it's because once we have been deceived into thinking that either hell doesn't exist or that devils and angels, this is all just myth, when we fall into that deceit of the devil, we tend to think that everything will be fine, doesn't matter. If that would be the case, then life itself is unjust. Life itself is unfair. Then it really makes no sense. Life itself doesn't make sense if there isn't a God who makes things right, who will take our sinfulness and the broken nature that we have and fix it somehow. And we know through Revelation that God has done this. And so therefore, it does make sense. And there is a God who makes things right. And life is not unjust and unfair. Life is beautiful. It's a gift. It's magnificent. But you see, the gift must be a recognition. It must be recognized. I have to recognize that God has given me this gift of life. And if I do not, or if I abuse that gift, in other words, if I take it for granted that I am living, that I am here, that I have a life, if I think, oh, well, everybody, there's no God, this life goes on, I'm just going to live and I'm going to die like an animal. But that doesn't make any sense. Animals don't fear death. Why do we? Animals die. It's a very natural thing. The reason why animals don't fear death is because it's natural. They were created and they were meant to die. You and I weren't. Do you ever wonder why we fear death? Why so many people are afraid to die? It's because it goes against their very nature. We were never meant to die. Our soul was never meant to be ripped from our body. Animals, yeah, but not us. We were meant to live into eternity. We were never meant to die. And so that's why Christ says he had to come. That's why when he prayed to his Father, he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass. He was speaking about his death. Well, it wasn't possible. He had to die. You know why? Because we die. We did this to ourselves. We're the ones who chose death. And so Christ had to come and show us how to die so that when we get to that point in our lives, it will be an act of offering. It will be a continuation of the very love that we've lived. So in other words, we have the choice by everything that we do in life to either choose heaven or to choose hell. And so Christ comes and he shows us. He takes away every possible excuse that we might give ourselves to desire hell. to want to go to hell. He shows us the value of goodness. He shows us the beauty of peace and forgiveness and mercy and compassion and tenderness and love. He shows us by the very life that he lives, by emptying himself of all of the beauty and the power that he had that would have brought everything to a standstill on this earth. And he becomes one of us. He takes on this wretched human nature, the fallen human nature, and he raises it up so that we would have something as an example, and we would have a hope and a future and an understanding of what real love is and of what heaven is. He shows us, he opens heaven to us so that no longer do we have an excuse to choose that which is against our nature. No longer do we have to be guided and controlled by sin. Oh, it's not easy. It's not definitely not easy to live a holy life. Without Christ, it's impossible. Without the Blessed Virgin Mary, you're really going to have a tough time. But with Christ, with Mary, with the sacraments, with grace, with the Holy Spirit, and the power that comes from God's Spirit, with the traditional 2,000 years of the Spirit speaking in His church, we have every single possible tool that we could possibly need in order to make the right choice. And yet there are still people who choose hell. Why? I don't know. Why would someone choose hell over heaven? I don't know. Maybe it's because of cowardice. They're afraid. They're afraid to love. They're afraid of the cross. They're afraid to look into the eyes of Jesus because they're afraid that they might have to live a certain way, and they're so accustomed to living their life. It's easy to go to hell. Very, very easy to go to hell. Jesus even speaks about the road to heaven is narrow and few make it. And the road to hell is wide and it's easy and it's a slope that goes down. In Rome, there's a stairway, two stairways, one going up to the church of the Bambino Gesù and the other one going up to this big palazzo, this big open square. And when I think Michelangelo designed the stairs going up to the church, there's about I don't know if there's 300 and some stairs, and the ones going up to this big piazza are very long, and you almost don't even realize you're going upstairs because they're real big and they're sloped, so you're walking. Interestingly enough, all of those stairs, those hundreds of stairs that go up to the Church of the Child Jesus, for all the years that that has been there, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, no one has ever been hurt. No one's ever fallen down the stairs. They're very steep, and it takes a lot to get up. No one's ever dropped dead of a heart attack, although believe me, when I walked up those stairs, I thought I was going to have one. And the stairs that were easy to go up, there have been more people who have died, slipped, broken bones, suffered going up that easy staircase than all the people that went up that difficult one with all the hundreds of steps. And this shows us that there are greater dangers by doing things that are easy because they're easier than when we literally look at life and say, listen, I have to suffer this. I have to offer these things. I have to live my life according to the plan of God that He has for me. And you know what? Because we are a fallen creature, we do suffer the cross. I mean, let's face it, look in any bathroom, any medicine cabinet. There's more stuff to stop pain than you could ever find. And in third world countries, they don't even know what an aspirin is sometimes. And yet, we all try to run from pain, run from the difficulty, run from the cross. If only we understood how important it was to run toward the cross, to embrace the difficulties that we have to suffer anyway, but just embrace them and offer them to God, what will happen is that we will have a transformation. And instead of choosing the easy way and choosing hell, we will literally be choosing heaven. That we will find great peace, great joy, great love. We'll begin to forgive our enemies. We'll begin to help and do good to those who hurt us. We'll begin to live lives so worthy of heaven that when that moment comes, when we have that choice between heaven and hell, and we are suspended between the two, we will look up into the eyes of Christ and along with Him say, Oh, Lord, into your hands I commend my spirit.